Holder, Mr. Altman,
may it please the court. Stuart Altman for Chun Ha Zeng. Good morning, Your Honors. Your Honors, in this case, Ms. Chun Ha Zeng was found to be credible. The question before the immigration judge in this matter is whether or not the incidents that happened to her met the burden of persecution or not. The immigration judge seemed to rule that this was just mere harassment, and I believe past cases before this court indicate that this met the burden of showing that this was persecution, and I believe that there was also a mistake in the record by the immigration judge in this matter, and I'll address that as well. First of all, the immigration judge said that there were only two beatings in this matter. There were two beatings, but that was only after she was detained. There was actually a beating before she was detained when the government officials arrested her for protecting the person who was being taken under the family planning policy. And I think that's an important distinction because the immigration judge ruled that that there was not specificity in this case. And it was actually three beatings, as I stated, and I would actually agree with the immigration judge on the third one. There wasn't much specificity. But in the first two, I believe there was a lot of specificity. The first one, Your Honors, it must be taken into consideration that she was indicating they were beating her, it caused blood and swelling, but it must...
So wasn't that when she's resisting and trying to protect her, what, her sister or cousin? Yeah.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I know, but if you get into it, yeah, but that's not persecution. Not persecution if the police are struggling with someone who's putting up resistance, right?
I would disagree, Your Honor. It is persecution in this fact that it's an imputed political opinion. And I believe in a matter of this court before...
I don't understand. I mean, if someone is resisting arrest, the fact that there's a physical altercation doesn't make that persecution, even if the arrest is for something that we would consider improper, right? I mean, that's separate.
I would disagree, Your Honor.
No, that doesn't make sense. That's not right.
I believe that if you're resisting arrest based on the government persecuting another person, I don't believe that that would justify beating the person in this matter. And I believe also when the judge says there was no specificity, it must be taken to
execution. Suppose the only reason that they're beating her up when she's is that she's protecting her cousin. She might not have any view on this one-child policy. She might think it's fine, but she's just protecting her cousin. So she gets into a fight with the police. That doesn't turn the fight into persecution.
I believe with all the incidents combined, Your Honor, it does turn into persecution. We must take into account she was detained after this, that she was also reported to the Public Security Bureau after this.
That. I'm just talking about the altercation when they're trying to, you know, seize her sister. That's all I'm talking about.
I would just respectfully disagree then, Your Honor.
Well, and from the point of view, first of all, the encounter in her cousin's home where she's fighting with them. All right, that's one place she gets beat up. And then she's detained for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, she was beat up two times.
Yes.
Okay. Then after that, she was told to report once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I assume she appointed, what, two times she went?
Three times, Your Honor.
Three times. Did she get beat up at any of those times?
No, she didn't, Your Honor.
And what I think what the ALJ's recognized, or IK, whatever we call it, is that, yeah, that was pretty nasty, what they did to her. But that is sort of a one-time event surrounding this resistance and defending her cousins, mm-hmm. and they were basically beating up on her for that, and now after that, they were just going to sort of harass her, make her come in once a week. And she says she didn't want to do that anymore and left. And they're saying that's not enough for past persecution?
Well, based on the past court precedent in this case, in a matter of Bache, or Bache, B-A-C-E, where a person was beaten three times, that was found to be persecution in this matter.
But now, of course, it's a line-drawing problem, as you recognize. And so you've got Bache, you've got Dandan, you've got other things. And there are forms of even physical mistreatment that don't seem to be worthy of the label persecution. I hate to use the term rise to the level of, because I'm not sure what that bubbling up means. But and there are other forms of physical mistreatment that are so abhorrent that they do. And the immigration judge recognizes that nobody's giving the Chinese officials a gold star for what they did. It was terrible. It shouldn't have been done. We don't approve of it. But not everything physical is persecution, which puts you in a line-drawing problem, and it puts us in a situation with deferential review of needing a pretty good reason to override the immigration judge's assessment of how bad this was, particularly bearing in mind, by the way, that this is really relevant only to withholding of removal since she was late on the asylum.
I think that's your most serious problem, whether you can prove it's more likely than not that if she's returned to China, she'll be persecuted.
If I may address that further, Ron, I believe that goes to the second issue as well, whether her two U.S.-born children would subject her to a well-founded future fear of persecution if she were returned to China.
Fine her, right? That's what they do.
No, I disagree, Your Honor.
But we've had a lot of cases like this where people will come and they'll have children, they're U.S. citizen children, and the issue has been explored frequently whether those children are something that would yield, you know, fines if the person is sent back to China, or whether the Chinese ignore it altogether. We don't even know if the children stay here. Would the same consequences in China follow if the children don't? And there are all kinds of issues about that.
Well, Your Honor, the court dealt with this in a case called Song Wang, Your Honor. And in that case, there was a very interesting footnote in this matter, which indicated that the translation of a pamphlet that the second child would result in mandatory sterilization, and the court stated that, you know, it would call into question a conclusion reached that Fujian no longer uses force in its family planning program, Your Honor.
But there's second children born in Fujian province, and then there's second children born not in Fujian province, in the U.S. and Australia and Germany, whatever.
Your Honor, the 11th Circuit in this case has multiple cases. One is Zhang v. the United States, one is Liu v. the United States, and Zhang v. the United States. In each one of those cases, they have found that even if the child is born in the United States, the people are still subject to the family planning policy in China. That does not excuse...
Not if one of them has a graduate degree.
It would be... If they had status in the United States, that would be correct.
If you have a graduate degree from a foreign university, you can have as many children as you want, and then you can bring them all back to China. Now, it's a eugenic policy.
I don't know as many as you want, Your Honor, but I would agree.
What is her? Does she have a degree?
She has a minimal education, Your Honor.
She wouldn't get that break.
Yes.
But what are the dates of those 11th Circuit cases?
The dates of the
keeps evolving in China.
Well,
the date of those cases roughly? Are they
two are 2007, one is 2009, and
because what we have been seeing recently is that there is a. There's embarrassment about this, and it's a local thing. It's a Fujian province thing. It's not nationwide. And so what they're doing now is they're fining these people. The fines are very stiff. Also, you know, I don't think the government argued it, but there is this principle that if you can relocate to a part of a country which doesn't engage in persecution, then you can't complain about the, you know, likelihood of persecution. So could she go somewhere besides Fujian province?
Well, I would disagree that the Chinese family planning policy is indicated in the Department of Defense National.
Local. We just see cases from Fujian province. You don't see cases from other parts of China.
So the question, to put it a little differently, is whether you happen to know, and if you don't, that's fine, you just say so, whether in China people are able freely to move from one part of the country to another. Do they need, you know, a book? Do they have passports? Do they have to have permission to live in a particular city? Do they?
They're not. They have a household registration, Your Honor, and you must be in that area where your household registration is. People from Fuzhou don't go to Shanghai or Wenzhou. They pretty much stick to their area. And
that's due to government regulations, you're saying.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. There's enormous internal migration in China. Hundreds of millions of people, right, have moved from rural to urban areas.
I wouldn't say I know with that, Your Honor. I deal a lot with the Fujian, like I would say the court gets a lot of these cases. And
tons of Fujian.
And from what I understand, the way to your planning policy is dictated by where your household registration is, Your Honor. And if that's where you're from, that's what the policy is. And though I realize that, you know, the court may just get the Fujian people, I disagree to say this is only economic sanctions, Your Honor. I strongly disagree. I believe the court's basis is from the BIA on that. And what the BIA relied on that report was writing a letter to the Chinese government to ask what the policy would be for people who have two children born outside the United States. And I think it's kind of ridiculous in a matter.
What's your evidence?
My evidence, Your Honor, is the 2009 country report. My evidence is the report from Dr.
Hey, though.
I disagree. It just says lax or uneven. Just because it says, and it does say the sterilization there, just because it says it's lax or uneven doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And under Cardozo-Fonseca for asylum, you only have to meet a 10%. If the court only takes withholding of removal here, obviously it's more than 50%. And I think just lax or uneven, it would still meet that standard, Your Honor. Just because it doesn't happen every single time.
Yes, I know, but you have this burden of proof under withholding. What the country report is say that the official rule is that you can't force people to have an abortion or sterilize them, but then it's, you know, local people don't always obey that. But that doesn't get you to the point of showing more likely than not.
Your Honor, if the people violate the policy, the policy would be enforced against them. There's nowhere in the record to show me it would be anywhere different.
Enforced by fines or enforced by physical force?
That's one method. It also says sterilization, Your Honor.
Well,
and if
I
they
know,
don't do
but the report doesn't say that that's the punishment. That's actually not allowed, but nevertheless some of these local people do it anyway. That's what they're saying. You say you rely on the report.
Well, no, I rely on the statements by the witnesses in the case, Your Honor.
Well, what do they know?
Well, they live in China. They live in that area of China, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Alford.
Thank you.
Mr. Stolzner?
Good morning, Your Honor. Counsel, and may it please the Court, my name is Rob Stolzner, and I'm here on behalf of the Attorney General. I think Your Honors have put your fingers on the issues here. With respect to whether this is an asylum or withholding case, clearly we're under the withholding rubric. Petitioner's asylum application was late by a period of years, and there's no excuse for that and no review for that here.
Well, it seems to me her biggest problem was she applied for asylum.
Indeed, that is how
she
came to the attention.
She stayed in her home household, and nobody's paying any attention to her. So she basically exposed herself, and they say, hey, you don't belong here. Meantime, she's had two children, and she's obviously got a serious logistical problem. She's got a husband and two children. He's what's his status?
He's a lawful permanent resident, or at least he was.
He's not a citizen, but he's permanent resident. Kids are citizens. I don't know. Are they all going back together, or she got to go back by herself? Or is anybody going to do anything?
She didn't testify to that point. I will point out, however, that her asylum application...
No, they don't do anything, right? If they're not in custody, they just ignore the the order to leave, right?
I think some of them do, but not all of them.
Yeah, well, almost all of them.
And I would point out with respect to the...
keep saying these, you know, these motions for reconsideration, reopening, and so on, because after being ordered removed and getting their baggage letter, they don't leave. So they're Can't she apply for adjustment of status?
Petitioner isn't eligible for adjustment because she entered unlawfully. Because she entered unlawfully in 1999 or 2000, she's not eligible for adjustment. And that's why she hasn't gone that route.
It's just another signal she's in the country, doesn't belong here.
Indeed, Your Honor.
So she's best just hang out at home and do whatever she's been doing for the last 7 years.
What I was noting, Your Honor, was that in the asylum application...
If she'd entered lawfully and on a visitor's visa and overstayed, then she could ask for adjustment.
Yes, Your Honor. The asylum application indicates that her children actually were residing in China.
What?
The asylum application indicates that her children were residing in China with
there
her husband's
now?
Parents. They were at the time of the asylum application. I don't know if that's changed
so
since then.
You mean they've already moved?
It's in the asylum application. That's in the record, Your Honor.
How old are they?
They were born in 2005 and 2007, Your Honor. So they're children.
They're little kids. I assume they're back there with their father. Where is she?
As far as I know, she's here in the United States, Your Honor.
So her husband and her kids are in China, and she's still here?
I don't know her husband's location. I just know what's in the record.
These kids are, 3 and 5 years old?
They're
living
Your Honor.
With their grandparents?
They aren't going by herself, I hope.
I have no...
You don't know?
It's not in the record, Your Honor, and I don't know. With respect to the past persecution that she complained of, Your Honor, you put your finger on it when you noted that there are some harms that don't rise to the level of persecution, maybe sink to the level...
Would
perhaps be a better
metaphor.
Phrase for that,
yeah.
Your Honor.
If we have to have this floating thing at all.
And what we would want.
I mean, it's a seamy business, you know, frankly, saying, oh, well, they beat you up with a belt and, you know, broke your nose, but that's something that we'll sit around and tolerate. But if they throw you in a cell with roaches crawling all over you for a week, then maybe not.
It's deplorable, Your Honor, but it isn't the type of thing that the courts and the board have determined equate to persecution. In this case, what we would want to do...
The board has never defined persecution.
Well, the board has said that persecution can take several forms, one of which is substantial harm or mistreatment or severe harm or mistreatment. And so that's what... To overturn the board here, you would have to look to this record and say, okay, where was the substantial harm? What
but
was
the
severe harm?
But the board is apparently willing to let her be sterilized. Would you say that that's
absolutely
a substantial
absolutely not, Your
harm?
Honor. The board rules in this the way it did in this matter because it does not believe she demonstrated she would be sterilized or even that she had a more likely than not chance to be sterilized. And that's, again, based on the evidence. The evidence in this case was exceptionally sparse. We have her statements and testimony saying, my father told me I could be sterilized. She has the letter from her cousin, the letter from her father that says she will be punished. Doesn't say what form that punishment
will take.
And,
you know, that's endemic to this because you don't expect the Fujian province officials to proclaim from the rooftops, we sterilize people who are sent back from Western countries whatever. It's not just the United States. Australia gets a huge number of applicants and other countries as well. They're going to keep it under wraps. They're going to do it the way these people did it. They'll just show up at the house one day and drag you off to the
Yes
hospital.
And no, Your Honor. We've certainly seen in other cases the aliens and the applicants have managed to provide some proof.
Has the board ever tried to do a longitudinal study of what happens to the people it ships back to Fujian province?
Not that I've ever heard of, Your Honor.
So they're just hoping that they're
Well, we
right.
rely on the evidence that's available. It is the applicant's burden to provide the evidence. And in other
but
cases,
the board hasn't tried to follow up with people. You know, they know who they've sent back, presumably. They know who's gotten put on an airplane with the appropriate documentation.
No, Your Honor. The Department of State actually tracks that issue,
well,
and that's what
okay,
we see
so
these country
excuse
reports.
Excuse me for not thinking that the one part of the U.S. government actually could talk to another part.
The board relies heavily on the Department of State reports on that issue, and which is why, as counsel said, it lacks an uneven enforcement of the population control policy, which is why we look for the evidence in each individual case. It is the applicant's burden to demonstrate the evidence. And we've seen it, actually, this year, had a case where even where the applicant provided a village population control certificate saying, look, we know you're in violation of our policy, and we will punish you for it, this court held that that wasn't enough in the asylum context to demonstrate the possibility of persecution. And, of course, in the asylum context, the bar is much lower. It's only at least a 10% chance. Here we're not even in the asylum context. We're in the withholding camp. She has to show more likely than not that it would occur. And there's just no evidence in the record we can put our finger on that says, oh, well, clearly she's in danger.
I would say there never would be for an individual person. So we're just really rolling the dice.
I disagree, Your Honor. I've seen cases. I worked at the Immigration Court before I worked for the Attorney General, and I've seen cases where it's very clear that the alien is in danger, and they can provide that information to the...
But this kind of danger, the danger of sterilization, one child or, you know, I should say family planning policy?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And so I would urge the court to dismiss in part the petition relating to whether or not the asylum application was timely because there's no jurisdiction here, and then simply deny the other parts of the petition. If there are no other questions, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stahl, sir. So, Mr. Altman, do you have anything further?
Just to address a few points, quick points before the court. Yes, withholding removal is a consideration. I would also state asylum is as well. That's based on a change in circumstances for the two U.S.-born children based on the 2009 country report, which is a change of circumstances from the original country report of 2000, Your Honor. I would also state that though Your Honor said a lot of people just ignore the bag and baggage letter to leave, within the last month, more people have been deported from the U.S. than any other month previously. And I know this has happened to myself, as a lot of other practitioners, where I've even heard of ICE officials coming to their law office.
They left, or they were ordered to leave?
They were picked up, detained, and sent back.
Is this to China?
To China, yes. I've had two within the last month. I know other practitioners have as well.
Were they in custody?
Excuse me?
Were they in custody?
Yes.
Well, that's a big difference.
No. Not all were in custody, Your Honor. Some,
so they picked them up.
Some officials went to the house. As far as my own, one, the officials went to the house. One, a person was taken into custody, and they got him and detained him, Your Honor. But I believe this is...
It's interesting. We were told in an argument a year or so ago that the Justice Department doesn't have the resources to search for people unless they're criminals, right? So if they just don't show up at the airport, nothing happens. That's what we were told. Of course, this administration has been more energetic about it.
They have been. They've hired a lot more ICE officers recently, and yes, they've been going to people's homes, and they've been enforcing these baggage letters, Your Honor, just so the court is aware.
Do you know where the husband and kids are?
I don't want to say exactly, Your Honor. I believe they are in the United States, but let me say this as well, just from how these cases usually work. Because the people here work in restaurants and they don't make a high hourly wage, they usually send the kids back to China to be with the grandparents for the first few years so they can be raised. And then once the kid's ready for school, they send them back to the U.S.
Which is part of the culture, huh?
All the time. Huh. All the time. And that happens. And to address one other thing, Your Honor, if there was a longitudinal study on this, there was not one done by the United States. There was actually one done by the Australian government, Your Honor, which did find that some of these people who were sent back to China were persecuted. Now, it's not part of the record, Your Honor, so I'm not going to say that it is, and it doesn't say specific to the two U.S.-born children, but there was a study done by the Australian government. Last thing is, counsel noted that the information in this case is sparse. In all of these cases, the evidence is sparse. When a person is fleeing a country, they're not exactly trying to take all the evidence they need with them, Your Honor. So that was really all.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Altman, Mr. Stoltz.